so great to be back with you all this morning. I was here last Sunday, but now I'm back into the daily rhythms of work and life. And so I want to thank you all as a church and the staff for allowing me some time to be with my family these last few weeks as we welcome the birth of our son, Levi. He's growing strong. He still has this hair that keeps getting redder and redder by the day. Never in my life have I seen a quarter Korean baby with red hair. Glory to God, there's a time for everything. But we are doing well, and I thank you, and it's so good to be back. We've missed our church family. We've got some leftover dishes that we'll talk about later, and so thank you for those who brought meals and for all your support and prayers. This morning, though, we are going to be talking about a text that you're probably quite familiar with. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. You can follow along on the screens. You can listen, your own devices. And this morning, I'm actually going to be using our church app. If you haven't downloaded it, it's a great time to do that this morning, this afternoon. It's a great tool, resource for our church. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to invite you to be thinking of it in three different sections and three kind of themes. The first one's going to be rhythms. That's the boat. The second one's going to be miracles. That's the grill. And the third one are leftovers, hence the empty dishes. So keep those in mind as we hear the story together of Jesus and this crowd that has gathered, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord for us, the people of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Good, gracious, generous God, thank you for our church family, and thank you for the ways you continue to pour out your blessing to us and through us. In our time together, we pray that you would even pour out a blessing in the reading of your scripture and through the spoken word, that through them, or in spite of even the words I say, your spirit might bless us in order that we might be a blessing to others. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, I love this passage and just the different parts of it. I love Jesus' examples and the way that he continues to model for each one of us individually and for all of us collectively as the church on what it means to live, in his own words, life to its fullest. An abundant life, to have a life that is overflowing with the goodness and the glory and the justice and the grace of God. Even in our passage, we see from the very beginning a rhythm that is typical to the life of Jesus. When life gets busy or even just in the normal flow, he regularly takes time to get away. I love this passage, especially for we who are in this area, and even more so perhaps for those who grew up in Kosciuszko County like myself. Growing up, I just assumed that everywhere in Indiana was filled with lakes. What a disappointment I experienced when I moved away to college in Marion, Indiana. At least Salamone was nearby. But I just thought everyone either had a boat or had a friend who had a boat. We didn't have one, but we knew those who did. And in fact, my sister and brother-in-law just moved to a lake, and I'm just looking forward to the day that they listened to my advice to buy a boat for themselves. That's right. I've always heard it said it's better to be the one who borrows the boat than to be the one who owns it. I don't know, I wouldn't mind having one. But Jesus also appreciated boats. Did you catch the beginning verse or two when Jesus withdrew to a solitary place and he went on a boat? I got a chance during the last couple weeks as we were visiting family and friends to take a boat ride, and it was just wonderful and relaxing. It reminded me to get away from time to time, to enjoy the beauty of God's creation, to even spend time in prayer or to be in rhythms with family, friends, and God. How's your summer been? For some of us, it might have been full of relaxing moments and highs and just a wonderful season, a good time to relax and to recuperate as school begins, as summer is coming to an end, and as we see fall in the horizon, football, right, Catherine? Michigan's going to take Bama in the championship this year. We all know that's not true, but there's something, though, about summers that invite time away or just to relax and recuperate. Others, though, it might have been a difficult summer. For Jesus, in our passage, it began following some difficult times. When Jesus heard the news, our passage begins. Well, the news he heard is that his friend, his relative, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded. He was killed by Herod, and Jesus had just heard the news, and upon hearing it, he withdraws to a solitary place. Jesus once again models for us the importance of having time away, of healthy rhythms, good news or bad, busy seasons or slow ones, to make sure we have regular rhythms that we step out of our lives and into God's. And so as we realize that summer's coming to an end, and as we look ahead to a fall that might be busier for some or perhaps slowing down for others, we look ahead realizing that we also need to be intentional about withdrawing to a solitary place, about having rhythms of rest, of relaxation, of Sabbath, of time with God, whether we're happy or sad or somewhere in between. So I want to give you a couple practical ways that you might be able to do that. As we look at Jesus' example, realizing he regularly withdrew, even daily. And so there are daily rhythms, there are monthly rhythms, and there are annual rhythms. Daily, we think about those disciplines, those habits, whether it's fasting or reading scripture or setting time in the morning, lunch, dinner, evening to pray. Do you have an intentional daily time or a rhythm that you withdraw to a solitary place to connect with God, to grow in your faith? For those who regularly attend worship, your weekly rhythm is to come on Sundays, but I'm going to invite you to be thinking about a daily rhythm. Weekly, of course, is worship. Monthly, there's a practice I learned from some pastors up in Michigan, and Michigan people just get it right. That's where God's summer home is. And they understood that, their practice was to have monthly dog days, D-A-W-G. Days away with God, D-A-W-G. And so once a month, they would either go to a national park or to a lake or just something, golf course even. Glory to God, you who golf, you can still worship God in the golf course. You know that better than the rest of us. Daily away with God. And then annually, thinking about just taking a retreat or something. That can be a spiritual retreat. It can even be a retreat with your spouse or something that feeds you. But these are a couple rhythms, daily, weekly, monthly, and then annually. How are your rhythms going? Well, that's the beginning. The second one, though, deals with the grill, and this is perhaps my favorite. I love to grill. In fact, I grilled hamburgers last night. Has anyone been doing some grilling this summer or eating the benefits, reaping the rewards of grills? I love summertime because it invites the grill to be opened up and that charcoal or gas to be Cooking food over the open flame, I just love it. But this section, though, deals with the heart of what's a very familiar story, the feeding of the 5,000. And so, of course, you've heard this one or perhaps some of the other stories. Jesus had a habit of eating regularly with people or even feeding large crowds. And so this is one of the instances where he does so. And he takes just a handful of fish and bread and ends up feeding a multitude, a huge crowd, 5,000, not even including the women and the children. Huge crowds. As wonderful as Don and the team did last week in feeding the several hundred of us, can you imagine feeding 15,000 or so people? What happened that day was a miracle. The miracle, though, is a bit debated. The scriptures, especially in this instance, are devoid of detail. Oftentimes throughout the Bible, I wish there'd just be a few more examples or details of what actually happened. And this is a story where I'd like to learn a little bit more. We project onto it, and some people have said that, well, the fish and the loaves just miraculously multiplied. What happened that day was a miracle of molecules and matter. That Jesus took the bread and the fish, and in his blessing it and his breaking it and passing it out, they just somehow reappeared. I don't know. A miracle. Sourdough. There you go. Ooh, that sounds good. Anybody else getting hungry? But it was a miracle, perhaps, of matter and molecules. I've got friends who, though, are too quick to just push aside the miracles of Jesus and try to apply rationale and logic. I don't know. There is an author named G.K. Chesterton who talks about being a bird who, learning that he was a bird, was able to fly. He says it so much more eloquently than that. I don't know. I think sometimes when we apply logic or reason too quickly over the top of certain things, particularly our faith, that we tend to put a ceiling on what God can do. We limit the possibilities of God. That being said, it is vital, and as United Methodist, we are invited, even compelled, to listen to Jesus' words to bring our entire selves to our faith, to worship, to Bible study, our hearts, our souls, our strength, and our minds. You, as United Methodists, are not allowed to check your brains at the door, as nice as that might be sometimes. But God invites us to bring all of ourselves, and so we also look at this passage with a critical eye, with an eye of reason and experience, an eye that listens to the traditions of our faith, to the scriptures, while bringing the totality of ourselves. And so the miracle that day might be one of matter and molecules, but it also might be one of opening up clasped hands, of turning me and mine into we and ours, of Jesus performing the miracle in the hearts of people, moving them from solitary to solidarity. Our story doesn't give the details, but it does begin with a small amount of food and ends with an overflowing amount. Perhaps the miracle that occurred that day was Jesus opening up the hearts and the hands of persons to move from me and mine to we and ours, from solitary to solidarity, of moving and opening up hearts and hands to share, to be generous, to overflow with the abundance of God. I don't know. I've heard preachers say, and I've even read commentaries that talk about the act of generosity that might have began in another story with a little boy sharing his meal to those who had tucked fishes and loaves in their purses or their robes, and began sharing it with those around them. It's their first and original carry-in dinner. But that day, the potluck opened up and overflowed to those around them. The covered dish that was once in hiding was now removed, and the lid was open that those around them might be fed. A miracle happened that day. One perhaps of matter and molecules, the other of hands and hearts. Do we really expect anything less from Jesus, who does the miraculous, who has no limitations, who is the one whose life is abundant and overflowing, and who also invites us to open up and be abundant for others as well? I was thinking about this passage as I was worshiping last Sunday, looking out and across the gym at all the faces and the food in the back, and Ed, who helped stay up all night to cook it, and I even heard this morning that at one point in the night, a huge grease fire broke out. He took care of it. But as I was looking out and I was thinking about all the people who were being fed and the abundance that we had, I just was thinking about the glory of God in this story and the ways Jesus invites us and is inviting us to join with him in this ongoing story of being blessed and then being a blessing to the world. Did you catch the line when the disciples came to him and said to send them away because the people were hungry and it was getting late? He said, you feed them. They don't have to go away. You do it. I love that. Jesus puts it back on them. Jesus puts it back on us. We can pray, and that's great, and we should. And also, we need to follow up doing our part. As I think about last Sunday, remembering who we have been, who we are, and who God's calling us to be, God has worked through the hands and the hearts of those who have gone before us in order that we who live today might also open up our hearts and our hands so that those in our community and those who will come to know Jesus through the life of this church might also be transformed and welcomed by Jesus Christ. Our hearts and our hands also have to be opened up to join in the work of God. Don't send them away. You do it. Talking to a gentleman from our congregation not long ago who talked about our church and said, we're sitting on the 50-yard line of Fishers and Hamilton County and this growing area. For such a time as this, I wonder what Jesus is saying to us. You do it. Well, I'll stop meddling. One more meddle. Things won't happen unless you do it. Things won't grow. Your faith won't grow. This church won't grow. Our community won't be transformed by the kingdom of Jesus Christ unless you play your part. You feed them, Jesus says. And so what's it that Jesus is asking you to do? Okay, I'm done. Speaking of Jesus and leftovers and food, I love this story. And speaking of Jesus, though, whether he's changing hearts and hands or molecules and matter, change is a disrupting thing. It necessarily means that things aren't the same and won't be the same, that they'll be different. The difference, though, between change with Jesus and change with, say, a corporation whose changes tend to push aside its aging workforce in favor of younger and cheaper laborers, that's a change that is very different than the kind of change that Jesus invites us into. With those corporations, some of you who might be even the victims of such layoffs, I have several family members who have been, the difference with Jesus is that he doesn't leave anyone behind. And neither must his church. Did you catch the end of the story? What began with the rhythms of him going off to a solitary place and then the miracle that takes the centrality focus of our passage, the end, though, cannot be missed. Because what happens at the end of the story is that we read and discover that there was a plethora of leftovers. A bunch of leftovers. So many leftovers, in fact, that the disciples went out and they collected 12 basketfuls. Now, this passage is rife with meaning and deeper context, especially that number 12 that represents not only the disciples, but also the 12 tribes of Israel. There is a kingdom in ecclesiology. Study of the church, I know. I'm just excited to use theology words. I've been talking baby talk for 4 weeks, okay? There's a big statement going on here, but leaving even that aside, which would be great for a Bible study, at the very least we discover that leftovers matter to God. That the broken, the discarded, the remaining, that those pieces dropped on the floor, those that are forgotten about or neglected, are not so with Jesus. Rather, Jesus goes out, sends out his people to collect the discarded, to gather the leftover, and to bring them together, to bring them back to himself. Jesus does not discard persons or people or places. Jesus doesn't forget the accomplishments. Jesus doesn't disregard you who have been faithful and the lives that you've lived, but rather Jesus goes and collects, Jesus remembers, and Jesus gathers in. Jesus doesn't neglect you. Jesus doesn't forget you. That's Jesus. And that's who we who are his followers are also compelled to be about as well. The neglected, the leftovers, the forgotten, the crumbs. It's precisely the work and the kinds of people that we are called to minister to as well. You feed them, Jesus says. You go and gather them and bring them to me. You. The disciples learned a lot of important lessons that day. Watching Jesus, they were reminded of the rhythms that they are called to live daily, weekly, monthly, annually, to withdraw and to spend time with God. They learned about miracles, whether it be of molecules and matter or heart and hands. They learned that with Jesus there are no limitations, that there is no ceiling or roof, that with God life can overflow, and that they and you and I have a part to play in it. And the disciples that day also learned that leftovers are not forgotten about or discarded. They learned that leftovers matter in the kingdom of God. They learned that life is lived better together. Isn't that just like Jesus? A miracle happened that day. It could have been a multiplication of matter, but perhaps even more miraculously, it was a change of hearts and an opening up of hands. Maybe it was a bit of both. Seems like that's something Jesus would do. And so, dear Jesus, as we look to your scriptures and are told the stories about your life, we give thanks for the ways that you have modeled for us how to live, and for the challenge and the responsibility that you put on we who claim to be your followers. Just as you did a miracle so long ago, Lord Jesus, won't you do a miracle again in our hearts and through our hands, in order that more and more people might be gathered to you and fed by your Spirit, that their lives might be blessed, and that this world might change with your kingdom. Come, and your will be done in our hearts, in this world, as it is in heaven. Amen.